Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We were up late on Monday night, along with all the rest of you. Maryland Crab Cake Tour is coming back at you. We will have Raven scratch offs. It says X2. That's L2 at this point. One and two. The Ravens lost on Monday night. I don't want to say convincingly, but convincingly enough for me to be convinced that there should be some concern on both sides of the ball. Luke Jones joins us now. He was up late. If you want any of our locker room sound, you'll get all of that out at Baltimore Positive. And of course, Luke's available out at Baltimore Luke on the internet after he sleeps in a little bit and gets a little bit of rest here in a short week. Hey, not just you, dude. I mean, let's start the party. Ready, set, go. They lost, and they lost.
Yeah, I mean, I'll actually disagree with you a little bit when you said maybe not convincingly. I think it was very convincing. I think it was could have been worse. And certainly, if you see the final score, you say, well, it's a one score game. And I get it. They drove down the field in the final minute to score a touchdown that isn't garbage time because it allowed you to at least attempt an onside kick, which they got the bounce up in the air for it, for what it's worth. But this was different. We've talked about this team so many times in not so many times, but when they've lost in recent years, maybe it's not as extreme as it was in Buffalo a couple weeks ago, but we tend to say what? The Ravens beat the Ravens. And yes, they made some mistakes and they had some self-inflicted errors. I mean, Derrick Henry with another fourth quarter fumble, but I think it was very simple. Detroit was the better team. I mean, and I have not said that very often when the Ravens have been beaten in recent years. A lot of times it tends to be like, how did that just happen? This was Detroit coming in and frankly, doing the kinds of things that the Ravens are accustomed to doing to other teams. When you talk about running for over 200 yards, when you talk about winning the line of scrimmage, we've talked about the pass rush at times not being maybe as dominant as maybe the sack totals have looked in certain years. But certainly, we've seen games where they've sacked a quarterback six or seven times. But this was a very convincing, humbling kind of defeat for the Ravens that, I want to be clear, Detroit's really, really good. When you try to put this in perspective before we start talking in terms about the sky falling and this team is in deep trouble or they're in deep, you know what? They played a Buffalo team that might be the best team in the AFC before it's all said and done. And certainly the Ravens, I think, are still going to have something to say about that. Kansas City will have something to say about that, certainly, as the team that has been at the top in the AFC. But on the flip side, looking at the NFC, this is a Detroit team that won a heck of a lot of football games the last couple of years. And they got humbled themselves in week one playing at Lambeau, playing a division opponent. And you see how they've rebounded these last 2 weeks. So if you tell me at the end of the season, we're talking about Buffalo and Detroit as the number one seeds in each conference, not saying that excuses
I'd
how the
be
Ravens
happy with
played.
that because somebody fresher win a Super Bowl, So I
Well,
mean,
sure.
I'd
But,
be,
well, I'm just talking about the number one seed. But
but
the
dude,
point is,
you're right. If they're playing in the Super Bowl, as absurd as it sounds, just picturing a Bills helmet and a Lions helmet's a little absurd in a Super Bowl. That
sure.
we wouldn't be shocked. As we sit here, week three, looking at the pedigree, having done 60 minutes, heavyweight fights with both of those teams, one at home, one on the road, across the board. They're talented. I'm talking about whether you're talking about Penei Sewell, whether you're talking about Hutchinson, whether you're
Sure.
talking about the kid in the back who had a terrible night, safety, right? But is a great player. They picked on the kid from Alabama instead a little bit, tried to anyway. But Laporta, Gibbs, the running backs, Goff, you know, he reminded me of Joe Cool. Don't he look? He's just. He looked completely like he had been seeing a shrink for a decade that started out in Hollywood at the beginning of this mess to calm himself. He played calm in a storm. I mean, I heard R, hey, he, and us. And I'm not at the game because, because they have no integrity. I'll always point that out. And my wife says to me, loud, wow, sounds like woo. And then at the end, let's go Lions. Yeah, I heard that at the end too. So I know the crowd was there, but one team was throwing helmets, flailing all over the after a third fumble in a row. We haven't mentioned Derrick Henry's role in this. And Lamar's the king of the ground beater at that point, right? Like, just sort of when things go wrong for this group, Marlon Humphrey, Ronnie Stanley, Mark Andrews, Lamar. We just go through the list of the people that have been here, their leadership. In the same way we saw Adley Rutschman and Gunnar Henderson and all those guys came to the leadership group, the group that needs to perform in order for you to win. I don't know, man. In the post game, Ryan Clark, they asked Ryan Clark, you think the Ravens could go to the Super Bowl? I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know. They got to start showing
It's
up when the
week
lights
three.
are on,
I mean, it's week three. I mean, and to answer your question about Jared Goff, well, did I not say to you in our lead up to this football game that he's a completely different quarterback if you don't get any pressure on him? I mean, if you get any pressure on him and they got, I mean, they didn't sack him once. I
Was
think they
playing
had
seven
five
on seven
quarterback
all
hits.
night, right?
I
Literally,
mean,
right?
he, you know, and look, that is true to an extent of any quarterback, but he is one of the more extreme examples of. If you pressure Jared Goff, he looks awful. If you don't pressure Jared Goff, he's one of the very best quarterbacks in football. The Ravens got zero sacks. They hit him five times. Granted, I think the story is still the fact that they ran for 224 yards. But hey, 28 of 20, 202 yards, a touchdown, some big third down conversions, a massive, gigantic. A fourth down conversion at the end, but also had one on the first drive, if you recall. So I hear everything you just said, and I'm not disagreeing with that, other than, I mean, it's week three. It's a long way to go,
Oh, I'm not
good
throwing the
or bad.
towel in, but at
Oh,
some
I don't.
point they need to show up when the lights are on.
But yeah, and I can sit here and say, or anyone that can sit here and say, well, they lost to Buffalo on the road by 1 point, and the Lions, it felt like the Lions dominated them at times, and it's not as though they lost by four touchdowns. So, but they've got work to do. I mean, there's no question about it. And I mean, for me, it begins with how the defense played. You have to begin with that. Certainly, the offense, which scored 21 points, had 21 points early in the third quarter coming out of halftime and driving down the field. And you're thinking, okay, you're leading, you're up 21-14, you're feeling good. Where do you go from here? And the defense never really answered the bell. And then as the second half went on, I mean, the sacks started to pile up as far as Lamar being sacked. Now he sacked seven times, six of those in the second half. I think, and this is, without me having the time and the energy of wanting to get a little bit of sleep as I got home early, early Tuesday morning. But how much of that was the offensive line? How much of that was the coverage downfield? How much of that was Lamar Jackson holding the football? How much of that was the Lions pass rush and their second level doing an excellent job of keeping Lamar from breaking out and
They
scrambling
built the
more so?
cage. They built
They
that cage.
played excellent complementary defense in that way. So I'm not going to sit here and say the offensive line played well because I don't think that was the case either by any stretch. Let's be clear. And I don't want to say all the sacks were on Lamar for holding the ball too long by any means because I don't think that was the case. But I think you'll find examples of each of those. And certainly as the fourth quarter went on and you're behind game script wise, not game script, but in terms of how you want to be able to play. And let's face it, other than the first drive, I mean, the Ravens didn't run the football very well and didn't really get in situations where they could run the
That
football
makes two
very
full
well.
games now if you go back to halftime of the
This
Buffalo
is the
game, right? Like
first time,
literally,
yeah,
right?
the first time of the Lamar Jackson era where they've been held under 100 yards rushing in back-to-back games. I mean, think about that. That's 7 years, right? I mean, this is a team that, if you recall, they had a game in Denver where they broke, they valued an NFL record by rushing for 100 plus yards so many times that they had Lamar run on the final play of the game that ticked off Vic Fangio and all that at the time. But that's neither here nor there. They couldn't do it. And that was the other part of Detroit's game plan. I mean, you saw they had eight in the box, and they, they really tried to kind of stack their front, and they played a lot of two split safeties real wide. I mean, that's why on certain occasions they were able to hit some passes down the middle of the field. But I mean, that was a heck of a game plan by the Detroit defense. And I think, especially when you saw how the game started out, you're kind of like, okay, is this going to be the kind of game that the Ravens are going to go off and score 40 plus again? And let me be clear. I mean, yeah, they scored a touchdown at the end to get to 30, but Detroit, as the game went on, they did a really good job in that regard. But I mean, you can't bury the lead here of this being a fraudulent Ravens defensive performance. I mean, it just was, and I get it. There's no Nnamdi Matabike. They missed him. There's no doubt about it. They absolutely missed Kyle Van Noy. At the same time, you can't give up 224 rushing yards. I mean, Marlon Humphrey said it after the game. I mean, we're not very good. I mean, period. We know the standard in this town. It's not even to just be merely a good defense, let alone be a bad defense the way they've been through three games, with one of those games being against the Cleveland Browns. Whoop-de-doo, right? I mean, truly, whoop-de-doo that you held down the Cleveland Browns, who haven't scored points against anyone so
And who
far this
won
year. I
this
mean,
week?
they won, but not at all because of their offense,
Well, I don't know
right?
if you saw my
So.
clip at the end. I mean, I know you're busy at the game, and even better that I'm not up in the little Kevin Byrne press box in the corner bothering you in the fourth quarter. But Marlon Humphrey, when they were doing all the hemming and hawing at the end, I shared it on Facebook. He put his head back and he's like, "We're in last place, F." And I'm thinking, yeah, I don't know.
One
They
and
got to
two
go
is
to
one and
Kansas City
two.
in 5 days, dude.
Yeah, no question. And boy, you want to talk about something? You want to know who got a shot of adrenaline and a shot of energy watching what happened Monday night? The Kansas City Chiefs, who we talked about it in our previous segment going around the league. I mean, even in victory on Sunday night, it's not as though they looked all that terribly impressive against the New York Giants, but now they're looking at it and saying, hey, all right, we got a win under our belt. We found some things offensively in the second half against the Giants. Baltimore's coming to town, but man, did you guys see their defense? Did you see that they couldn't stop the run at all? Did you see that Detroit was able to force Lamar Jackson to hold the ball, and they were able to get pressure on him and bring him down seven times? I mean, that's some life for them at a time where they're not feeling themselves in terms of aura. I mean, biggest thing for me, just if we're talking in terms of like the big picture narratives, right? It's a lot of what you just said. I mean, this was a primetime home game. They're wearing the all black uniforms. They've got the light show at the stadium. To your point, the crowd's into it, all of that. Detroit didn't care. I mean, that they squashed that aura. And that's not to say the Ravens won't get it back starting next Sunday in Kansas City. I mean, they better, right? You don't want to be 1-3. It's not insurmountable, but boy, you're starting to have some different conversations. But
Well, I'm
I mean,
already having different conversations about the AFC Championship game when you're in this kind of a hole thinking we're going to lose two or three all year. We've lost two and it's September.
well, and you see what Buffalo's schedule looks like until November, right? I mean, it's
I mean, they're
not
going to have a
so.
three-game advantage by the time the Ravens lose their next game, right? Whenever that's going to
Well, I
be,
mean,
right?
who knows? I mean, it's the league, right? I mean, you were saying, both of us were saying how impressive Green Bay looked through 2 weeks, and they lost in Cleveland, right? I mean, you never really know. So I don't think you can get too caught up in that if you're the team itself. But man, I mean, that's a soul searching kind of defeat right there in terms of, what are you going to do to fix the defense? Especially, I mean, John Harbaugh didn't have any further update on Matabike. Now, they didn't place him on IR on Monday,
By
but
the way, you and I did a lengthy piece about that. Do you want to recap that just for a second? Because I don't think they talked enough about it in the broadcast, and I think this thing's kind of come on over a weird weekend, right? Orioles playing the Yankees, people out doing whatever they're
yeah.
doing. The Matabike thing, just seeing him in street clothes on the sideline. It's not like Aikman and Buck touched on the fact that this is concerning because you're pretty concerned over the weekend.
I mean, you have to be concerned. It's a neck injury. And I've never said that he's out for the year, but when you're talking about a neck, when you're talking about seeking a couple different opinions. And John Harbaugh said himself, symptoms he's experiencing. I mean, think about that. When you're talking about a neck injury and you're saying symptoms you're experiencing, I'm not going to speculate on what those symptoms are, but we've all watched football our whole
They're
lives. We know,
neurological. I know
right.
that
You're
much, right?
talking in terms of, whether you're feeling numbness or tingling. Look, I mean, it's not like he was in a neck collar on the sideline or anything like that, right? I'm not saying his career's over or being an alarmist to that degree, but there's obvious concern when you're talking about a neck injury or a head injury, concussions. That's a different animal than a hamstring, an ankle, even a knee injury that cost you the rest of a season. Generally speaking, unless you wreck every ligament in your knee, generally speaking, it's a good prognosis long term. When you're talking about a neck, now again, that doesn't mean even if he does have to go on IR that he can't come back or anything like that. But you're talking about something that isn't necessarily a quick fix where he's going to be back on the field in 2 weeks. Or maybe they got good news over the weekend, but it's certainly something that did not come up until a day or two later. They were not, according to John Harbaugh, they were not necessarily able to identify or pinpoint an exact moment when this happened. Plenty of times it can be something that looks pretty benign as it pertains to many car crashes on every single play for an NFL player, especially an NFL defensive lineman. So, they didn't talk about it much on the telecast, and maybe that's a good sign, but it also might just be that, hey, the Ravens just aren't saying a whole lot about it out of respect to Madubuike. And some of it is also when you are talking about a neck injury, when you are talking about concussions or something like that, and I'm not saying this is that, but you don't always know right away. And sometimes you do have to wait and see what happens. But I think we saw this is a completely different defensive line. And I'll also point out Travis Jones was kind of in and out of the game and looking shaken up at a couple different points in the second half. So, boy, you want to talk about full-blown crisis mode is if you don't have Madubuike and suddenly Travis Jones isn't 100%. And that's, we saw that, we saw that at times. It's concerning. One of the, when we would go through the roster and where the Ravens were on each side of the ball, during OTAs, during mandatory minicamp, going into training camp, one of my relative concerns, not that I was, being an alarmist about it, but one of my relative concerns for a roster that looks really good on paper overall, in the minds of many people, the best roster in the NFL. On paper, but one of the relative concerns was, how much defensive line depth do you really have? And look, it's a salary cap era. Every team in the league has some areas where you're going to have some concerns, and you're going to say, "Man, we can't afford an injury there." Madubuike, there's a reason why they paid him close to $100 million on a 4-year
And
deal,
you saw
right?
that by halftime on Monday night, honestly,
Exactly.
right?
So, he's one of those guys. I mean, look, we know there's one player on this team that you truly say if he gets hurt for an extended period of time or a season-ending injury, it's Lamar Jackson. In the same way, it's Josh Allen for the Bills, it's Patrick Mahomes for the Chiefs, it's Joe Burrow for the Bengals. That's why the Bengals season is shot now. But that's just reality. But that doesn't mean you don't have another five or six players on your roster, in some cases, maybe a couple more than that, where you say, man, that's a guy you really, really, really don't want to lose. That's a guy that really changes the complexion of how you want to play. And I'd absolutely put Nnamdi Madubuike in that category. Not to say the Ravens, if he can't come back or if he misses an extended period of time, it's not to say they won't be okay or they can't figure things out. But man, that really changes things for your defensive front. And then when you throw in Van Noy as well, then you get a group that was a shell of what you want to be. And the guys that were out there, they need to play better, right? I mean, you don't just give them a pass. I mean, Kyle Hamilton said it in the post game. Shame on us if we lose one Pro Bowl player and we completely fall apart. I mean, that's not an excuse. Doesn't mean we don't miss the guy, but we can't play like that. You can't go from one extreme to the other. This isn't, this isn't, oh, we're a top five defense with him, and it's okay to be terrible without him. No, I mean, there's no one that has that kind of threshold as far as a defense. Like I said, in football, the quarterback is kind of the one player where you speak in absolutes in that way. So they can't use it as an excuse, but until he's back on the field, whenever that might be, and if he's back on the field in 2025, man, they've got to figure some things out. And if you're Eric DaCosta, you might need to be really looking, not might, you're going to need to be looking to see how can I improve that group? Because what we saw on Monday night, I mean, we use the term a lot, going back and using the term John Harbaugh used a decade ago. I think it was after a loss in San Francisco with how the defensive backs played. He used the term that was below the bar. Man, that defensive effort, that defensive performance, that was as below the bar as it gets for a Baltimore Ravens defense. Even last year, with all their issues they had with their pass defense, go look at the run defense numbers. They still stopped the run. You know, that wasn't a major issue. That was just a mess on Monday night. And that was a very humbling experience, a very humbling defeat for that defense. I mean, for the whole team, but really for that Ravens defense that, man, I mean, I get it. You're missing Van Noy, you're missing Matabike, but you got to play way better than that. I don't care if it's the Lions, the Bills, the Chiefs coming up on Sunday, whoever. That was not Ravens football whatsoever.
Well, the part of stopping the run that it sort of never ended for them, just the huge holes. And I think when you saw the group from Cleveland last week, that front four, or for you young old timers like me and Luke that remember, McCrary and Sam Adams and Goose. I actually thought of Goose during the game, on Monday night. Remember some of the stuff he used to say down on the sidelines, but this. Without Matabike, and they're going to be without him this week, right? I mean, yeah, we're not injury reporting this out, but the
I mean,
notion he's going to play in 5 days seems to be,
wouldn't think so,
wouldn't
right? I
think so,
mean,
wouldn't think so, right? How different it looked and how different it felt in the middle. And people are like, what's up with Roquan? And I'm like, Roquan can't even see what's going on. I'm watching, he's getting behind his lineman, trying to guess which way the running back's going. And it certainly wasn't Roquan's finest hour either, right? I mean, this is one of those nights where, like, Derrick Henry plays the dog and the middle of the defense was a mess. And I felt like they were out coached. I felt like scheme wise, when that Lions OC got down on the goal line, nobody was thinking of Ben
what a call
Johnson
that
anymore,
was. What
right?
a oh no doubt. Well, and to the point you just made about Roquan, but this applies to the whole defense. Next Gen Stats, which is the NFL's analytics department. Like they track these kind of things, and they kind of did a contrast. They talked about the fact that the Lions didn't turn the ball over. They talked about the fact that they made the optimal decision on every fourth down they were faced with, including the fourth and two, right? I mean, I think there was a lot of debate as, what they were going to do there, with, 2 minutes to go, and their defense had started to play well, right? I mean, after that touchdown that the Ravens got coming out of the third quarter, coming out of halftime, that their defense started to settle in, and I think a lot of people were saying, in fact, I can tell you, and I won't name any names because I think it was just the same discourse anyone that was watching at the bar or watching at home. There were one or two reporters nearby me that said, there's no way they're going for this, right? They went for it. I mean, that's Dan Campbell, right? And that's where I and it's not even a
Well, for
they
any Lions fan, you like big
but
balls in your coach. There you go, right there, right? Like,
and they've been burned by some as well. But I think when you look at those, and this is where we talked about this 7 years ago, talking about this with John Harbaugh, right? You kind of have to look at it in the big picture as far as is it a net positive or a net negative when you talk about these fourth down decisions over the long haul? And yeah, Detroit's been burned on a couple occasions over the last few years, but they've also had some like this where you say, wow. But the next gen stat that I wanted to cite to you, as we were talking about the defense, they credited Detroit with only four missed tackles on the night. You want to know how many they credited the Ravens with? 20. 20 missed tackles. they track the rate. Now, that's one source, and maybe Pro Football Focus says fewer than that, or maybe they say more, right? But the point is, to
It's a
your point,
lot.
to your point, they opened up some impressive holes in the running game, but they didn't tackle either. I mean, it was, like I said, this game, the Lions came in and did what the Ravens are accustomed to doing to people, leaning on them with the run game, being efficient in the passing game, the defense getting after it and being sound. They played very clean football. I mean, Marlon Humphrey lamented the fact that, they couldn't get a takeaway. Whereas you see the great play that they, Derrick Henry can't fumble for a third straight game, including second out of three in the fourth quarter at a critical time. But much like Ed Oliver in that opener, Aiden Hutchinson made a fantastic play punching that ball out. There you go. One of your playmakers making a big play when you absolutely need it. Where was that from the Ravens stars, right? Roquan Smith didn't make a play. Kyle Hamilton didn't make a play. Marlon Humphrey was one of the weak links on their defense. Now, as I said to you, that Amon-Ra St. Brown's a heck of a player, but Marlon Humphrey, I mean, and we saw even late in the first half that groin issue that he had late last week in Cle I assume that same issue popped up because you could see he was kind of tight on the sideline. He actually came off the field, for a couple plays late in
He
the
was
first half.
gimpy, really. I mean, that's
He
the word I
was.
would use for
He
it.
was. But re regardless, he wasn't getting the job done. I thought their outside corners played okay. I thought they were fine. I thought Awuzie
Wiggins made a
and Nate
nice
Wiggins.
play at one
Yeah,
point.
Wiggins. Yeah, for they got a big stop in that spot because of his pass breakup on second down. But as far as how Humphrey played, how the front seven played, how their safeties played, I saw Malachi Starks missed a couple tackles. Like I said, it wasn't Hamilton's best game. I mean, that was a poor defensive showing. I mean, it was poor. And you can try to explain it away all you want about Madubuike, and absolutely they missed him. And absolutely they missed Kyle Van Noy. But you know what? The Baltimore Ravens back in the day played some games without Ray Lewis and Ed Reed. And the standard was not, oh, it's okay to be absolutely terrible then. Now, they had some games back then that without those guys that they struggled to. Let's not act like they were invincible every single week, but man, the bar is still higher than that even without those guys. I mean, that just wasn't nearly good enough. And like I said, give proper credit to the Detroit Lions. This is not like week one where the Ravens did a lot of self-destructive stuff, and it almost felt like, the football gods, or however you want to coin it, conspired against them. That weird deflection touchdown, all of that
As the
happened.
calls would say, they beat themselves in week one.
They
They
did.
got beaten in week three.
Well, yeah, no question, right? I mean, you could make the argument in week one that the Ravens did a lot to beat themselves. Look, they made mistakes on Monday night. Don't get me wrong,
They didn't look
but
like a good team Monday. In Buffalo, they looked like an outstanding
yeah.
team for three
Again,
quarters,
against a
right?
team that was better in the final 5 minutes, just the margin for error was that tiny. Whereas Monday night, like I said, it felt like that game could have been even worse than it was, right? I mean, that's where it just felt that Detroit so thoroughly controlled them for stretches of that game. And I mean, it just, again, the final score, 8 points, and they were able to try an onside kick. I get all that, but that last touchdown, let's face it, Detroit certainly changed how they wanted to play. And I mean, this was a Ravens offense that, unlike last week, where they started slowly against Cleveland and then came on in the second half, this was the opposite. They had 21 points, early in the third quarter, getting that touchdown coming out of half. They take the lead. You're thinking, okay, now you've got the lead. You've got the game flow kind of back in your favor. And Detroit just punked them from that point. I mean, this was a game where Detroit came in and, it's the bully stealing their lunch money, which the Ravens are so used to being the team that does that. Detroit did it to them on Monday night.
Luke Jones can be found at Baltimore Luke. He can be found getting some rest because we're going to need it. It's a short week. The Orioles are ending this week. We did an hour on Kyle Bradish and Trevor Rogers' magnificence as well. So short week. We have injury concerns. If you're on the WNST tech service, you'll get all the breaking news first, just like you got the injury report. And of course, Luke will be out in Owings Mills the First opportunity that they have to break all of this down. We're going to continue to break it down, get you ready for the Chiefs game this week. I've got the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on the road, all of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have these shimmery shiny, I keep wanting to call it matte, but it sort of looks like the helmets that they wore, the matte helmets last year. The scratch-offs, Lucky Batch, we'll have these out for all of our sponsors, Fadley's. We're going to be at Costas. We're going to be back at Coco's here in the coming weeks. And, eating crab cakes. My tastiness countdown, brought to you by Curio Wellness and Foreign Daughter, is also available out at Baltimore Positive. I have a new segment out there called In the City, because we talked to so many of the city council people, including city council president, all of that's out at Baltimore Positive. So we continue with some charity, some city stuff, some Baltimore stuff, some crab cake stuff, but most importantly, it's football season around here, and nobody does it the way we do. I am Nestor. He is Luke. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Back for more on the GBMC Hotline. Stay with us. We got football.